Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Faith Alive, inspiring talks from the finest Catholic speakers. Today, from the 4th Annual Sacred Heart Congress, held on October 31st at St. Catherine's Parish in Bexley, Father Stosh Daly, the administrator of Holy Family Parish in Columbus. And now Chuck Wilson with the introduction. Enjoy.
It's my pleasure to introduce Father Stosh Daly. As Joanne mentioned, he's our spiritual director of Sacred Heart Columbus, and he's also the new spiritual director of Sacred Heart Enthronement Network. And Joanne introduced Father, a little bit of his background, but we would not be here today without Father and with his spiritual direction he's giving us on the Sacred Heart, and particularly what it is, why we need it, and how it's done. And hopefully in this part of his talk and then my follow-up, you'll understand a little bit better. So at this point, I'd like to introduce our spiritual director, Father Stosh Daly.
My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, before I begin, I invite you to please take from your pew the St. Michael hymnal, the hardback blue hymnal. Please turn to page 667. O Jesus, we adore thee. Page 667. And together, let us offer this hymn to the most sacred heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, enthroned before us in the Holy Eucharist. O Jesus, we adore thee, who in thy love divine conceal thy mighty Godhead in forms of bread and wine. O sacrament most sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. O Jesus, we adore thee, our victim and our blood and body become our sacred feast. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving divine.
thanksgiving be every moment thine. O come all you who labor in sorrow and in pain, come eat this bread from heaven, your peace and strength regain. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine.
Now, if in about 5 hours you're still humming that hymn, then I was successful in what I was hoping to do. That very popular hymn, O Jesus, We Adore Thee, carries within it such a beautiful and profound, and yet at some times in our lives, also sublime message of how we are called to come before the Lord. You know, all too often we enter into the mysteries of the Holy Mass focused more on perhaps what we need to get out of it. Perhaps we enter into the mysteries of the Holy Mass overwhelmed by the needs or demands of our day. And here we are in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in this church of St. Catherine, with our Lord in front of us, face to face, really, heart to heart. And we are given this beautiful opportunity to make sure that when we come before the Lord, whether it is in adoration here and now, whether it is before the Lord in one of our many adoration chapels throughout this diocese of ours, whether we come before the Lord in the mysteries of the Holy Mass, that we mean what we say and we say what we mean. That when we sing the hymns of Holy Mass, when we offer our prayers in response to the priest, when we come before the Lord in the humility of our hearts and the brokenness of our humanity, very aware of how imperfect we are, how imperfect our families are, how broken our homes are, how maybe sullied and dirty, maybe cluttered our lives are, that we can invest ourselves in the words we pray, the words we say, and the words we sing. The Lord Jesus Christ is the word spoken by God our Father. It is through Jesus that each and every single person is brought into life. And the Lord, as the source of our life, wants us to come to him day in and day out. In the revealing of his sacred mysteries and divine love within Mass, within adoration, within the sacrament of confession or reconciliation. But he also wants us to come to him in all of the other moments of our days. Whether we be a mother or a father, a child, a sibling, an aunt and uncle, a grandparent, a religious sister, a brother, a priest, an individual who lives in this world completely focused on the Lord, giving the totality of our lives, someone who perhaps lives surrounded by many people, or someone who lives in the solitude of their apartment or house. It doesn't matter the way by which we live out our lives, as long as that way by which we live out our lives is a way of holiness, a path of holiness. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of our life. He also wants to be the destination of our lives. But God is not content in leaving us alone or just kind of moving that ball in action and letting us roll down the hill and go where we may. The Lord accompanies us, walks with us. He runs with us, sometimes has to crawl with us, sometimes just sits there in absolute and utter exhaustion with us. But the Lord never leaves our side. The only thing that can vary or change is our knowledge of his presence, our attentiveness to him. And that's important to remember on this day when we come before the Lord, when we come before the Lord's Sacred Heart in the Holy Eucharist. to take just a brief moment out of our week, our month, our year, our lives, and to just kind of soak up all that the Lord wants to give, and to absorb it to the degree that is possible. Every single person who is here today comes from a very different background from every other person who is here today. We all have many different stories. We have been able to identify with something that perhaps Gloria said or Jen and Mike have said. Perhaps we heard the Divine Mercy Chaplet being prayed and we remember, that's my prayer. That's my favorite prayer. Maybe you were able to remain here in the church during the break, and in that moment of silence, you're able to hear the Lord, for that is His language. Regardless of where you were able to plug in and connect with the Lord Most High today, thus far, it's important that we just make sure we remind ourselves that He is here. You can tell the health of an age, a society, a culture, based on how they live, on how they turn to the Lord. Using that rule, that standard, that measuring stick, if you apply it to today, we're not very healthy. In just a matter of a few days, we enter into election day. Think of the gravity of some of those issues. Think about what's being presented before a popular vote. Think about how many of us have confused what is normal versus what is popular, what is healthy, what is legal versus what is ethical or moral. The confusion of today's world has wreaked havoc on the human heart, but also, and more notably, even the human family, the domestic church. When I go into someone's home to advocate, to promote, or to begin, or even to conclude the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, there's a variety of questions that people will pose and ask. Sometimes they're direct, and they expect an answer, and other times they're just rhetorical. But one of the more popular questions that are offered or posed, how did all of this begin? I mean, I know it's going to have a benefit because I've heard the witness of others. When I was before the Lord in prayer, in the Mass, in adoration, in my home, I just knew that the time was right for me to do this. And as I came to know more about it, I remembered seeing that image of the Sacred Heart in my family's home when I was a child myself, or growing up. But how did all of this begin? And then I ask him, well, do you mean like here and now with me? Or like 2,000 years big picture with Jesus? Now I get the big picture, Father. How did it begin here? And I have to tell him, in an answer that varies depending upon the conversation, this began because the Lord reminded his priest that they in and of themselves cannot save the world. Only Jesus can. But the priest must preach Jesus. They must make him available and make him present. And though they may be limited by what their own hands can do and where their own feet can carry them, if they make the Lord present, if they preach the Lord will do the rest. And then on a very particular, personal note, that's how, this basically began about 7.5 years ago. The Sacred Heart was already present in many homes, but there were many more homes where the Lord was not present. He wanted to be. People yearned for Him. They wanted to know that He was present. But they could not open their eyes to see that He was with them in the muck of it all, the dirt, the mud of it all. They could not see Him because their eyes were closed. And so this idea of, well, why don't we bring these households back to the Sacred Heart began. one after another, after another, after another. And as I explained the answer to that individual and their family, then they asked, well, what about the bigger picture? Like, how did this all begin? It's just one devotion among many, right? I said, no, the reality of the Sacred Heart is the reality of Jesus Christ. The Lord came to us first and foremost through the incarnation, conceived within the Blessed Virgin Mother by the power of the Holy Spirit, born into our midst on the Nativity. That's where the devotion to the Sacred Heart, that's where the reality of Jesus Christ and that openness, that attentiveness to Jesus Christ began. When the Father decided, now is the time, I'm sending my Son. But before I may send my Son, I have to prepare one who will be able to carry him into the world, bear him for the world, give birth to him for the world. So all of this drama, all of this love began in the womb of Our Lady. And from the moment Jesus Christ was conceived, there was a devotion, a love, a turning towards and an attention to the one who gives life. So if someone has the Sacred Heart in their home, they're acknowledging God loves and God wants to be in that home with them. And the Lord's rule of perfection is holiness. And so the Lord brings the graces that are necessary for all of those who love him to live their lives in holiness. And that's important because all too often, a lot of people will come and they struggle. They come to church and they struggle, and somehow they think because of their struggles, they're not worthy of what the church has to offer. And this is where the message of our current Holy Father, Pope Francis, is so poignant and beautiful. The mysteries of God's love made available through the church, our mother on earth, are meant for everyone, especially those who struggle, especially those who are hurt and wounded and sinful. But in order to fully accept all of the gifts that Christ wants to make available, even his heart in the Holy Eucharist, we have to strive for conversion and ongoing sanctification. But the Lord knows us so well, he knows he even has to help us with that. Because extending the invitation and being present, still not enough. So the Lord desires to seep into our hearts. He wants to enter into our lives. As one priest of our diocese says, he wants to enter into the heat and humidity of our humanity. He wants to be there. We all know what it's like when you walk outside and you've dolled yourself up, you look good, you're very presentable, and you've run into no one who you know. And then all of a sudden, something happens and you run out of your house completely a mess, completely chaotic. You are the worst thing that God created at that moment in time. And you run into every single person you know. And they think, is this really how they carry themselves? The Lord is there, even in that moment where we are not presentable. Even when we have locked ourselves up in the hiddenness and solitude of our homes, where we know we're not perfect, we know our house is not perfect, but we're going to let everyone else outside think it is, but we're just going to hide within this. The Lord is still there. And he's still asking us, one by one, come to me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And if you come to me, I will renew you. I'm not going to pull out a magic wand and make you look like you just walked off of a magazine cover, but I will renew you from within. I will bring you peace. I will give you all of the graces that are necessary for your state in life. You are married and you find it difficult to communicate. If you bring the Lord into your life, he will give you the graces that are necessary. I've seen that 1,000 times over and over and over again. But you need to enter into the humility of your humanity and ask the Lord to give you the graces that are necessary. You find it difficult to work with your children, who went from being the cute little bundles of joy that you carry in your arms to now teenage terrors who drive you awake at night and don't let you rest. Bring the Lord into your home. Bring him into your heart. Offer those beautiful children of yours to the Lord. Because even though you love them beyond all words, his love for them makes your love look weak and small. But the Lord entrusts gifts to us so that we may offer them back to him, including those that we love. You find yourself living alone, and you're overwhelmed with the temptations to feel sorry for yourself because of this, because of that, or because of everything. Allow the Lord to enter into your life. Bringing the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ back to the center of reality will bring stability to one human heart after another after another. Bring stability and peace to one home after another after another. And from one home to another, to a neighborhood, to a whole area, to a parish, to a diocese, to a country, and eventually to the whole world. There's a lot we have to do to make that happen, but we begin by first offering our hearts as individual disciples to the Lord Most High, acknowledging that though we have committed sins, and we still do, we come before the Lord seeking forgiveness and restoration. We want to be healed. But what has to happen before you can be healed? You have to admit that you're sick. And in today's world, that's very hard to do because so many of us are overwhelmed with running the race of perfection, trying to look like we already have it all together. We're perfect. There's nothing wrong here. I don't commit sin. I don't need to go to confession. I've hit the age where I'm the immaculate one. Guess what? You're not. The Lord knows us, and he has this remedy for us. But in order for us to make use of that remedy, we have to admit that we are in need of it. That's a great tragedy in today's world, is the temptation to think that the way we are now is as good as it is going to get. So I'm just going to become at peace with it. With that kind of sentiment, that statement, we have distanced ourselves from the one who wants to heal us and restore us and bring peace into our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ, in coming into life in the world, lets us know that God does care, God does love, and God does not forget. He does not forget someone he creates or loves into existence. In the early days of our faith, when we were persecuted, when we were hunted down, when we had no church like this within which to pray because we had to go into the cemeteries, we had to gather into tiny little homes, dark at night, and enter into our communion with the living God. In that time period of the church, the Sacred Heart was alive. People had a devotion to the Lord. They called it the holy wounds, the pierced side of Christ. Every time they saw the image of Christ crucified, they would see that wound on the side, and they knew exactly where that spear went. It pierced the heart. All of the great saints of our church have referenced their love for the heart of Christ. A heart which is mentioned over and over and over again in sacred scripture. On the part of God and man, it's mentioned over 1,000 times. So the reality of the heart is nothing new. It's a perfect summary of all of who we are. When I used to visit the Catholic high schools in our area, when I was stationed at St. Michael's, trying to communicate the reality, the truth of the Sacred Heart, it's kind of difficult to some of our teenagers who have become so wounded, so jaded, because they've been hurt so often, that to make known to them the fact that there is a heart that beats out of love for them, there is a love that is completely unconditional for them. This heart beats for them. It's the heart of Christ. It's the heart that they receive in the Holy Eucharist. You can start to see them slowly thaw, but they don't always buy it. Now, all these years later, I run into some of these same students, and they'll talk about their first love and how that first love, that first relationship came to a close, and they'll speak of how their heart was broken. And I turn them towards the Lord. Your heart was broken by your first love. What about the heart of Jesus that breaks because you're his only love? and you look elsewhere other than the Lord. Once they understand the brokenness of their own heart, then they can start to identify with the love of the heart of Christ for all, especially them. Then they start to become open to what the Lord has to say and how the Lord loves and the presence he offers to them. The patroness of this parish is St. Catherine of Siena. She herself had this love for the heart of Christ, not being perfect, not coming from a perfect family, a very large family where she watched many of her siblings die before they became even an adult. She knew of the love of Christ. Coming from a very lukewarm family, perhaps, you know, they were there when they had to be at Mass. She did not allow any of those very natural and very common circumstances to get in her way. She fostered an attention towards Christ who wanted her for himself. And in one of her prayers with the Lord, she felt this burning sensation where the Lord actually removed from her the heart that beat within and placed within her his own sacred heart, because he knew that's the only way she would be at peace, because now she could be closer than ever to him. This, of course, prepared the church to pay attention to the love of Christ. In every age where the Sacred Heart devotion has become popular and renewed itself and brought homes back to the Lord, inevitably it has been because of, or in the face of, great strife, great doubt, great pain and agony. In the 1670s, another young sister, Sister Margaret Mary, started to understand the depths of God's love as Jesus revealed it to her, as he visited her in that tiny little monastery in some backwater town up in the hills of France, Paray-le-Monial. But the Lord revealed to her the power of his love. Why? Because everyone around her, everyone around that monastery, everyone in France, everyone in Europe, all these people who claimed to be disciples, were allowing themselves to be filled with self-hatred. They had given themselves over to this thinking that somehow their sins had more power over them than the love of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord revealed once again the power of his love, a love which originates from and flows forth from his heart. Well, why do we go over this? What's the point of having this Congress? Because we need to remind people today, here and now, in our own area of life, that God loves and God does not forget. And he loves those whom he remembers, which is everyone, all people. We encounter our dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe even some of you who are here, and we see so much brokenness. And this brokenness without faith leads us to despair, leads us to think somehow we have to do this all on our own. We become overwhelmed with trying to diagnose and self-medicate rather than giving ourselves over as a gift to the Lord, a gift that is tainted, a gift that is broken, a gift that is dirtied, a gift that is imperfect, but nevertheless making a gift of ourselves to the Lord. And so for some reason, in God's providence, he has raised up the particular people he has in this age to bring back to the church the reality of his love, the presence of his heart, and the truth of his gospel. But this is where we need each other. For we each offer to one another a beautiful example and witness, a lesson, really, on how the Lord loves. Walking into your home and saying, "Jesus, I'm home." Seeing the Sacred Heart and turning to him before we turn to the kids and say something that we will regret. Going to the Lord and blowing up at him before we blow up at somebody else who will not know how to deal with it. As a priest, I take all of my bills and I give them to the tabernacle. I said, "This is your house, you pay for the utilities. Your little ones are not carrying the bill this month, so you have to." And it always comes through. Some of my parishioners think I'm clinically insane, but you know what? As long as the bills get paid, I'm going to continue to do it. He is in charge. Pride can creep in so easily into leading us think that somehow I have to do this. This burden, this weight is on my shoulders. But the Lord wants to accompany us. He wants to lift that cross. And so clear is his desire to love us that he even had this long conversation. And from that long conversation, there became simple statements or promises, if you will, to those who would turn to him. I will give to my faithful all the graces necessary to their state of life, to be faithful. Do not worry. Love. I will establish peace in their homes. I have never met a family that comes from a home that does not need peace or more peace. It's something you can never have enough of. But the Lord offers this. Why do we think what he says is not true? Why do we think he's not going to deliver what he offers? I will comfort them in all their afflictions. No matter what it is, you struggle from loneliness, the Lord will be there if you allow him to be. You struggle from drugs, alcohol, some kind of impurity. You suffer from a habitual sin. If you turn to the Lord in your affliction and you render yourself before him, a disciple who wants to draw close to him, he will make himself present. The fourth, I will be their secure refuge during life and above all in death. What does that mean? That means when you're driving in your car, perhaps too fast, up and down 315 or 70 or 270, you make sure the Lord is there with you. You highlight through little phrases here and there and everywhere, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Depending on how loud you say that, you might receive a response from your neighbor. But as long as it's directed towards the Lord and it's not something you're doing in vain, the Lord is there accompanying you. Not something that's just left for the guy dressed in black or the consecrated sisters dressed in white. This is something that we are all supposed to have, a relationship which brings us before the Lord day in and day out, every single moment. The Lord wants to be our refuge. He doesn't want pot, marijuana, drugs, pornography. He doesn't want all of this other stuff to be our refuge. He wants to be our refuge. We were created for him, and he wants us to acknowledge that and come back home. I will bestow abundant blessings upon all their undertakings. If you live with the Lord, if you bring his heart into your life, and you turn to him, anything you try to do, he will always bless. This drives my friends nuts. The Lord will provide. That's what I tell the people who help me at Holy Family. I tell my brother priest, the Lord will provide. Recently, just a few days ago, there were some visiting sisters in the convent here. The water was turned off by the city. Show up with the sisters, go to turn the water off. It's like, oh, Lord. I don't mind doing penance for myself, but I don't like inflicting it upon others. So I just let Father know, offered up to the Lord. They said, oh, we'll have it on by 5:30. Well, you know, municipalities, they don't have anything on at time. I said, well, if we don't have it by 5:30, just wait till tomorrow. That's nice because you're not the one that's to flush the toilet. Very real situation in life. But I walked through, I told the sisters, I'm just going to visit our Lord in the chapel. We're just going to offer it all to him. As I'm making my way to the chapel, it's about 7 p.m. There's the utility guy walking up the front door. Just want to let you know the water's turned on. I didn't know you worked this late. Well, we don't. But for some reason, I had this gnawing feeling inside that I had to get this one job done before I went home. I said, well, that was Jesus. He's like, oh, is that who that was? I said, yeah, and I sent him to you. He's like, oh, can you tell him to leave me alone now? No. He wants all of who you are, but I will ask him not to nag you anymore. Oh, okay. And then he starts backing up, walking reverse, you know. That's nice. Okay. But offering everything up to the Lord, even little situations like that, very real. But also paying attention to the fact that as we draw closer and closer to Jesus Christ, there's going to be a pushback. There's going to be resistance. Christians of today are really weak and lame. If it doesn't go well, doesn't go smooth, and all of a sudden it's not working, I need to go jump ship and find somebody else who's going to help me. But look at our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land who are being put to death because they believe in Jesus Christ. And yet a Christian country as our own says nothing about it. Somehow it's their fault that they're being put to death. They have guts. They have the truth of Jesus. How often do we hear about one of our brothers and sisters today in 2015 being more willing to die than to renounce the Lord Jesus Christ? That's an individual who's living in the heart and has his heart living within them, beating within them. The cross is going to be present. Things are not always going to be easy. But if we give ourselves over to the Lord, he will be our refuge. He will also give us the strength to endure. But he needs to be present all day, every day in our lives. The Lord says, "Sinners shall find in my heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy." That's if you're looking. If you're content in being a sinner, well, you're not going to find the ocean of mercy. We have to admit that we need the Lord. We need forgiven. We need to be restored. And please, take it from my own simple words. The priest that you confess to is not perfect. We pray he wants to be holy, but he is not perfect. In his humanity, the Lord scoops him up and takes everything the Lord needs so as to forgive the sins of those who want to be restored. I like to tell people, remember, the priest is in sales, not management. He passes on what upper management tells him to. He has to make available all that the Lord wants to give. Sinners shall find in my heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy. The Lord then says, for those who draw close to my heart, for those who live in my love, tepid souls shall become fervent. That's like taking lukewarm water and making it boiling. He takes you as you are and just infuses you with his love, causes you to boil over with his love. Fervent souls, those who are already boiling, he makes you steam so you go everywhere and annoy the hell out of everyone who's around you. You're just everywhere. Your love moves out of you and embraces all around you. And you bring everyone you meet back before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. You bring everyone back to him, and you take him to everyone. Fervent souls shall quickly mount to high perfection. All of a sudden, you're able to get things done that you know there's no way you can get done on your own. But you've given yourself over to the Lord in an ever more deeper fashion. The ninth promise, which really is what sets everything we are about today into motion, I will bless every place in which an image of my heart shall be exposed and honored. Now, from the 1670s all the way up until the 1970s, it did not matter what language you spoke, what country within which you lived. Every Christian household that followed the creed of the Catholic Church had the heart of Christ within. Every household. Once again, it did not matter what language you spoke, what parish you went to, what country you came from, or what country you were moving to. Every Catholic Christian house had the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ in it. It did not matter if you were poor or rich or somewhere in between. Everyone who followed the Lord had his heart in their home. And it was through the exposition of his heart in the home that those people found hope. But what happened? We could spend weeks talking about what happened. But perhaps, I propose, we grew decadent in our faith. We started to take for granted that which should never be taken for granted, love. Now we go into homes, and it's not that there's no Sacred Heart. There is no Jesus. There's no crucifix. No Last Supper, no image of Our Lady. Is it any wonder that people are wandering around aimlessly in the darkness of life? They have not turned the light of Christ on in their homes, in their hearts. They haven't turned towards the Lord. So the Lord tells us, I will bless every place in which an image of my heart shall be exposed and honored. So don't just hang him there. Pay attention to him. The reality of Christ in the church and the Blessed Sacrament is a reality we bring into our homes by bringing an artistic rendering of the spiritual reality of the Holy Eucharist into our homes. I will give to priests the gift of touching the most hardened of hearts. A couple of weeks ago, I was sent to Illinois. I preached a retreat for the priests of the Diocese of Peoria. Sunday, all of the priests were gathering. And as I'm biting what little of my nails are left because I have to preach to my own brothers, they start showing up and they're just exhausted, worn out, and beaten down. About 25 priests. And as we all gathered in the chapel that Sunday evening, I told him, I said, my name, Father Stosh Daly, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to be offering you some insights on the power of our Lord's love, which originates in his Sacred Heart, for you as his priest. Now go to bed. That's it. Go to bed. And I dismissed him. I said, tomorrow we will start to delve into the love that Jesus has for you as his ministers and his priests. But you have to rest first because we're going to be doing a spiritual boot camp. And I don't want to be leaving my brothers dead in the dust behind. I need to have you have energy. Pay attention. And over the few days where I went through the power of our Lord's love, originating within his heart, and how that heart of Christ has to be made manifest in the life of the priest. After another, these priests were coming and just like breaking down in tears because they had been carrying the burdens of their people. They had been fighting the wounds of the culture. They were succumbing to the whispers offered by the evil one of telling them that they were alone. And they could do things on their own because no one else would find out. And here they were reminded of the love of Jesus that first called them to be a priest. And by the end of the retreat, a few of them were just so on fire that they were then ready to take this passion for the Lord's humanity back to their parishes. How do I begin, Father? By visiting our Lord in the Eucharist. Don't preach him alone. Love him always. If you give yourself over to the Lord as a priest, he will place within you his words, and sinners will be able to find their path back to his love because you became a salesman rather than management. You allowed proper upper management to take over. And in the humility of your priesthood, he could do incredible things. Those who shall promote this devotion shall have their names written in my heart, never to be effaced. Gloria's name is written in the heart of Jesus, like font 1080. She's in the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. But so are all of you if you hang our Lord's image in your home. If you just offer him to your neighbor, to your children, to your spouse, to your priest. If you offer him to people when they say, how are you at peace in the midst of this tragedy? I'm at peace in the midst of this tragedy because I know the Lord is greater than all of this. You've lost your child to death. How can you function? Because my child first and foremost belonged to the Lord. And where there is the cross, there will soon follow the glory. So I'm placing my trust in his heart. You know, if you just take some of those little images of the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ that are available at the entrances to the church, and you just take those and you put them in your purse, you put them in your wallet, you put them in your car, in the console, you know, and don't let them get all junked up with your change and your pens and everything else that's in there, but keep them available so that it's something that you can quite easily offer to somebody. Just in that little gesture of love, you've helped spread knowledge of our Lord. By hanging our Lord's Sacred Heart in your home, in a place where your visitors will see him, you've offered him to people. by not being afraid of what others may think. You've offered him. You're spreading love and devotion to him. And that act of devotion to the Lord will mean you're in his heart and you are loved for all eternity, and he will never forget you because you strove not to forget him. The Lord then closed his promises with Sister, now Saint Margaret Mary, by saying, I promise you in the excessive mercy of my heart that my all-powerful love will grant to all those who communicate on the first Friday over 9 consecutive months the grace of final penitence. They shall not die in my disgrace, nor without receiving their sacraments. My divine heart shall be their safe refuge in this last moment. Going over the promises with people, a lot of times, especially men, they'll say, why does everything pertain to death? It's all about, like, you know, well, I'm going to protect you when you die. It's like, but remember, if you have love for the Lord and you live in the Lord, death is just a change. It's not an end. And the Lord wants to make sure that that change in your life from this phase to the next is one of peace and harmony. Drawing close to receive our Lord on the first Fridays is a powerful way of reminding ourselves of what he went through out of love for us. And that love is so powerful and it remains forever that he remains present among us in the Holy Eucharist. Drawing close to the Lord, making sure that we give him what is due, nothing short of the entirety of our lives. In a neighborhood not too far from here, not too long ago, I was called upon to visit a few homes. Homes of people who share our country as citizens, but do not share our language of English. They share our faith as Catholics, but they don't necessarily have the same piety. They called with great nervousness, panic, and even terror in their voice. They begged for a priest to come. So I went. I show up there, and immediately they start speaking Spanish a mile a minute. And I was trying to say, no hablo español. But instead, the only thing that came out was, no hablo inglés. So then they even go faster. And I was like, no. Más despacio. Faster, faster, faster. Well, what had happened was these people who have such a beautiful faith were being intimidated and scared by bullies, by gangs, by people who thought sin would reign forever. And they were leaving all these little pagan idols on their front porches, demanding that these beautiful families basically give their sons to these cults, these gangs, these drug peddlers. And they called one parish after another, after another, after another, but the priest could not understand, so they didn't go. I understand just enough and showed up. And seeing the heartbreak in them, I gathered all those idols and just smashed them. And then I gave them the image of the Sacred Heart that we make available, just these perfect-sized little plaques. I gave him the image of the Sacred Heart, gave him an image of Our Lady Guadalupe. And as I was recounting this whole drama to some friends of mine, they were highlighting, you know, that was imprudent on your part. Something bad could have happened to you. I said, yeah, but once again, if we carry the Lord in confidence, he carries us in love. And if we offer him, what may happen to our bodies is of very little consequence to what will happen to our souls. But I said, what about you? You think it's heroic that I smashed that little idol, which petrified that family with fear. But what about the idol in your home that you are not afraid of? What about those little things that you give yourself over to? You sell your children down to? Where's the heart of Christ in your home? We each find ourselves, when we come before the Lord, in need of growth, in need of holiness. And that's not a bad thing. It's actually quite good. But we have to allow the Lord to heal us, to restore us. You've heard a variety of examples today of the power of the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ and those who turn to him. The power of our Lord's heart was made manifest by Jesus himself, by coming to dwell among us, by allowing his heart to be pierced on the cross, by making sure his heart is present before us in every single Holy Mass offered in every single church and chapel, oratory, and house throughout the world. But he wants his heart to move from this altar into your home. And he wants his heart to move from your home into your own heart. So that no matter where you may go, with whom you may visit, whatever you may face, you may always have the presence of Christ within you. Not just around you, but within you. And all we have to do is allow him to enter, to open the door and allow him to enter and make a home within us. For those of you who have come to previous congresses, you know I always close with, if you want a home in his heart for eternity, bring his heart into your home. And as we enter into this fourth year of promoting our Lord's Sacred Heart in the area of Columbus, in this diocese, in the state of Ohio, and now reviving the devotion throughout the whole country, in conjunction with other awesome and very effective apostolates throughout this country and the world, I ask each and every single person here to not wait for somebody else to do it, but to do it for yourself, to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your home and into your heart. Together we commend ourselves to our Lord's most sacred heart by offering the prayer that has become the words which communicate the desires of our souls. O most holy heart of Jesus, fountain of every blessing, I adore you, I love you, and with a lively sorrow for my sins, I offer you this poor heart of mine. Make me humble, patient, pure, and wholly obedient to your will. Grant, good Jesus, that I may live in you and for you. Protect me in the midst of danger. Comfort me in my afflictions. Give me health of body, assistance in my temporal needs, your blessings in all that I do, and the grace of a holy death. Amen. May the Lord give you his peace.
You're listening to Faith Alive on listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. That was Father Stosh Daly, the administrator of Holy Family Church in Columbus, Ohio, speaking to the 2015 Sacred Heart Congress. This was the fourth annual Sacred Heart Congress held at St. Catherine's Parish in Bexley, Ohio. If you'd like to download a copy of this talk and the other talks from the Sacred Heart Congress, please go to our website, stgabrielradio.com, click on the audio archives, and go to special features, and you'll find all the talks right there. To learn more about the Sacred Heart movement here in Columbus, visit sacredheartcolumbus.org. That's sacredheartcolumbus.org. Thanks for joining us today. God bless, and have a great day.